Now, I don't usually do this, but let's go ahead and break them off with a preview of the remix. Snowman melting down in antifreeze. Jack Frost bathing with a hose. Grieving moms being strung up on the tree. All reviewed by NLD's Christmas Vacation. A killer and an acid spill helps to fuse DNA with snow. Stupid plot, hope you got some bud to smoke. 'Cause holy shit, this movie blows.
Buckle up, dreadheads. That's right, day 5 of NLD's Christmas Vacation. I, of course, am your host with the most.
The most THC in his system right here.
Possibly. Otis B. Dredd's there, and of course, that shiny, happy person on the other end there, my partner in horror crime, Mr. SJ. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm great. I'm such a shiny, happy person tonight, let me tell you. Shiny,
happy person. Well, after our flick that we're going to talk about here in a second, you should be, because it was a very uplifting, funny, stupid movie.
Yeah, nice family tale for the holidays. Family tale, yeah.
Before we get into that, I want to give a real special shout-out. To Amanda Thomas over there, one of the admins, I believe, is her title there at the Twilight Hour group on Facebook. You talk about, I mean, she's banging out, you know, these watch parties. She had one going that she started tonight around 9, but anyway, check them out. And the reason I'm giving them a shout out is because through a brief conversation that we had on Messenger and whatnot, and, you know, just doing a little cross promoting and whatnot, it all started me asking, hey, is it cool if I, you know, post the podcast over there and, you know, we'll make sure you know, we give you a shout out. And she was like, yeah, and I'll put you guys out there. Well, long story short, I know, Otis, too late. I went to bed last night. And on our Facebook page, we had 173 likes. Now, I was hoping, my goal was to have us at least 200 likes by the end of the year. What I woke up to, or at least found out about 8:30 on the way to the job site, checking, you know, things out real quick, there was over 200 likes. At this moment right now, we're looking at 255 likes. That is almost 100 likes in one day. And it's all thanks to Amanda for putting out invites to, she said, you know, upwards over 1,000 people, really spreading the word about this podcast. And much love from the Insane Asylum to Amanda and to her group, the Twilight Hour. I'm just really, you know, just dumbstruck at it, SJ, to be honest.
Me too, man. And I can't agree with you enough. Massive shout outs. For us to get a few new likes a day is
a big
thing.
You know,
we're doing good. Yeah, we're doing good. So almost 100 in a day is
unbelievable.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And my God, thank you so much. Everybody that liked the page and liked the podcast, and, you know, we're here to do this as often as we can. And we're aiming to be the best fucking horror podcast that you can find out there. I know there's a lot, and that's a lofty goal for us, but we're down. We're game. I know Otis is. And
you're damn right.
You know, hopefully you can all tell that good old SJ is just as down, because this thing is becoming, so, you know, it's therapeutic for me to get into the insane asylum and, you know, be able to discuss all this horror goodness.
Insane asylum, is that what you said?
It's comforting to me in the straitjacket. It's like one of those thunder vests for a dog that's afraid of storms. It just hugs me in all the right places.
Oh, God.
Oh, so man. Much love out there to the horror community. We love you guys.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. And thank you all new members, you know, who have like new followers of the podcast and a Facebook page. So it is cold as shit here in the insane asylum, which is located in Ohio. It's pretty damn cold, probably about in the teens right now. Is it pretty cold where you're at?
You know, this is the South, so.
Yeah.
This morning it was like 80 degrees, and now it's like 30. Liar. 30, 31.
Right now?
Just below freezing down here.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I can look it up if you want.
No, it's not that damn important. It's just a segue.
37 degrees. There you go.
Is anybody nipping at your nose, sir?
Well, I kind of wish somebody was, but no, but I see what you're getting at.
You see where I'm
talking about fucking Jack Frost, and not the one with Michael Keaton.
No.
Not the heartwarming comedy.
And not the cartoon.
Not the cartoon. I think there's also another Jack Frost movie from like the 50s or earlier, but no, we're talking about the 1997 straight to VHS goodness that is Jack Frost, directed by Michael Cooney. I don't know if you are all familiar with Michael Cooney.
I am not.
I'm not, but
somebody maybe.
Many people are. But he, let's see what else he has under his belt. I didn't look this up before. Oh, he actually did Identity. Well, he was a writer on that. That was a pretty good flick.
Okay.
But yeah, Jack Frost. Let's just launch right into this, man.
Yeah.
There's so much to say about this flick. I was telling you earlier, Otis, we could easily do a full, you know, full length episode on this because there's just so much hilarity going on. Definite horror comedy. Comedy horror, I would say, actually.
I think it's more comedy than horror, because even in what's supposed to be the you know, horror part of it, it's funny as fuck.
Yeah, and the music that's playing during a lot of the kills is like, it's not, you know, it's very not what you would get with a self-serious horror movie.
And I tell you what, I actually, you know, I watched this like 2.5, maybe 3 times today since I got home from work. And, I, you know, sometimes I would just have it playing in the background, not really, you know, paying attention. Other times, you know, I was really paying attention. And I found that the more that I watched it, almost the funnier it became. And the more that, it, you know, because the first time I was like, really? Am I really watching this? And then by like the third time, I'm like, this is quite possibly one of the funniest fucking movies I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I wouldn't go quite that far.
No, I wouldn't either. But I mean, just to even say that, you know, I enjoyed the movie is like saying it's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you're going for there.
You see what I did there? Okay. Did you get that, or did you like it right off the rip? And maybe we can get into, you know, what the plot here is, because it's gonna resemble, you know, someone by the name of Chucky.
Yeah. There's a lot of parallels there, but I don't know. I've only seen it the one time, you know, during this 12 days of, or I almost said 12 days of Christmas. Good God, look at me. During this whole slaycation thing we're doing, it's hard for me to watch it more than once. A, because sometimes it's hard to get through it the first time.
Right.
B, because of time. And this was one of those time things. If I had more time, I would have watched it at least one more time, a second viewing. because if you're going in blind, you don't really know. Like, I obviously I'd seen the I guess you would call it the box art, the front cover, but I had never actually watched this flick. So I didn't know if it was supposed to be serious or was supposed to be goofy. The whole movie is a goof. It, we were saying before, it doesn't need a riff track because the entire script is
the riff track. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, definitely, because I had fun with this. I liked it because my taste in movies is like Night Killer and you know, stuff like this. So the cheesier and the cornier, the better. I love this kind of movie.
Well, and you talked about the, you know, you had seen the, you know, the cover art for it and the DVD cover art. And, it, you know, if you check out Wikipedia and you look at the cover art there, which was the North American DVD cover, it doesn't look like it doesn't put out the horror comedy vibe.
No, it puts out
more of a serious,
you know, really badly
type shit.
More of a serious thing, but still like badly Photoshopped, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not like some great effect or anything, but yeah, it does look more horror.
So basically what we got here, why the, you know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of the listeners have seen Jack Frost. Again, it came out in 97. But what we have here is a close resemblance to the story of Chucky. Of course, you know, we have Jack Frost, a real person, okay, who's apparently this you know, horrible killer and whatnot, and he gets caught and he's sentenced to death on his way. What was the name of his coach when he's being taken to be executed? What did they call that?
Oh, the van?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was like the executional transportation
vehicle or something. It was just so cheesy anyway. So they're taking him, okay? And of course, you know, you can anticipate a wreck because the driver and the, you know, the passenger there, of course, some sort of correctional officers or whatnot, are looking through the tiniest windshield in the history of mankind.
And the worst windshield wiper.
The worst windshield wipers. They couldn't be but about 6 inches long, and there's only one of them.
Yeah,
through a blizzard.
It's ridiculous. And it's good. They're sitting so close to each other. It's not like...
They're very uncomfortable.
They're not on opposite sides of the van. And there's just... I don't know. There must be some devices or... I don't know. This is the most shittily designed van of all time. There's like
Did
just
you say
enough room.
Shittily?
Shittily. That's a word.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. So there's
take
a wreck.
Word for it, that is.
there's a wreck. A very shittily type wreck. And I don't
I
know
agree
if I
with
used
that
properly, but a wreck with some some I think it was like acidic material, I think it said on the side of the you know, truck, and you know, there's a little standoff between one of the injured CEOs that was transporting Jack Frost to his execution. And but there's a fire there, and the fire causes, you know, a little explosion which shoots this acid all over Jack Frost. One of my favorite lines, speaking of good lines in this, I love it that it was the classic 80s like comedy one-liner type deals. It was, you know, he sees this exploding and it's just a close-up on his face and he goes, "Oh, this is gonna hurt."
Yeah.
And then he's completely like showered in this in an acid shower, falls into the snow, and then they go into, you know, this, ooh, now his genes are mixing somehow with the snow and it's all becoming one. Boom, you have the birth of the killer fucking snowman.
Yeah, but he doesn't turn into a snowman right away or anything.
No, he doesn't. That
comes a little bit later, and it is explained how that happens, I guess. It's shittily explained later on in the movie. But, yeah, there was a shot when most of his skin had melted off there, and he's in the snow and doing this, like, he's kind of writhing around and banging his torso up and down into the snow, and it looks like one of those things you would see in a shitty haunted house, like, you know, the animatronic guy in the electric chair whipping back and forth. I think they just got one of those animatronics, you know, took it out of the wheelchair and had it bang itself against the ground for that shot. It was great.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, the practical effects in this movie are... Mwah!
Tom Savini quality shit right here.
Yeah, right. So now, before they do little scenes where, you know, Jack Frost, before all this bad shit happens to him, is being taken out of like a courtroom or being escorted to prison or something, and he's screaming at the sheriff, one of the other main characters there. And that is Sheriff Sam. Is it Tiller? Tyler Tiller?
I just have Sam here. I'm horrible.
Okay. Sheriff Sam. Names. And he vows revenge on Sheriff Sam.
And it traumatizes him. Just the threats.
It does.
I'm going to come back and I'm going to kill your whole family. I'm going to wreak havoc on your town. Just the words enough, like, keep him up at night, even though this guy's been incarcerated now. He's, you know, he's facing the death penalty and all that. He's still traumatized. Tough sheriff.
Sheriff Sam is trying to get over this trauma. And boom, the clock strikes midnight, which is just after, I think, the little crash happened just prior to midnight. And it's midnight, so now he thinks, quite possibly, he may be okay now. At least his wife tries to comfort him, because he still has this, like, PTSD over being the guy who, you know, the sheriff that happened to be in the right place at the right time and didn't really, you know, have a whole lot of legwork in, you know, the whole case of Jack Frost, and just, boom, just happened to be there and took him down in one shot, you know what I mean? And so now he's all traumatized. He doesn't know Jack Frost is, you know, dead or what. And he even comes across the car crash, which brings up my least favorite character. I ended up hating this character, and I know it's going to sound mean. I hate that little kid that plays his son.
Oh, really?
Is that bad? I hate it. And one of the worst scenes. I mean, it just makes me cringe. The scene where, you know, he comes in and the kid's making that, like, slop that he throws into the little baggie, whatever the hell that was.
Well, it turns out to be a huge plot point towards the end of the movie.
It really does.
But, yeah.
And where did he get, you know, the special ingredients for that one?
Oh, just out of the garage.
Right?
This looks like something Daddy would like in his food.
I hate the whole line, man, where he's coming in. He's like, you know, Daddy, who's Jack Frost? Well, he was a bad man, but, you know, he's not around anymore. Oh, so like magic?
And the kid is obviously
like magic. You got rid of him. He say, "You're my hero, Daddy." Oh my! God! I want to beat my head against something really, really, really hard.
You're a mean one, Mr. Dreads.
I ended up hating. I'm not the actor, okay, but I just hate that kid in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, all of it. Every time he's in a scene, I hate him. I was hoping that his dad would literally keep him dunked under the, you know, fucking truck bed full of antifreeze just for a couple seconds longer.
The old antifreeze baptism scene. We're getting ahead of ourselves here.
I know. I'm sorry. I was just plotting this kid's violent, horrible death. Anyway, okay. Continue. I'm feeling a little verklempt.
Well, you left off at what point? We're explaining the plot. I don't know if we can even explain the whole plot of this movie.
You really can't.
You have to. It's one of those ones you have to see.
Because it's almost one of those, like, you know, chase kind of thing. It's like the whole movie, Jack Frost is, you know, chasing, you know, the sheriff down, to try and take the sheriff down for taking him down. And there's some weird science that goes on with Jack Frost. Did you catch on to that one? You know, it's like he can melt and, you know, water, and he just goes under doors, and then boom, he's, you know, Jack Frost, and all of a sudden there's a weird fucking shredded coconut arm.
Get it right.
Know, coming out of the water or something.
Are you alluding to the terrible fake snow in this flick and the fact that it's supposed to be all snowy in this town of Snowminton, by the way, is the name of the town. But in a lot of scenes, you can see green grass and, you know, green leaves on the trees in the background. Are you talking about the shitty coconut snow in this movie?
Snowman contest.
Yeah, where everybody's like magically just really talented at like Renaissance sculpting. Like some of those snow sculptures were really impressive. And they almost look like statues, to the point where if somebody pokes at it, it would just kind of wobble back and forth like it's not really snow. Which does happen.
I just had a revelation.
Oh, holy shit.
No, I'm sure you're familiar with coconut thing, treats. I don't know. They're cupcakes called snowballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love snowballs. You got a joke to make or something?
I do. That's exactly, you know, what they, that was their practical effects. They just, you know, bought a truckload of these snowballs.
You know what a snow woman doesn't have that a snowman does? Snowballs. Yeah.
If there's any, you know, like third graders listening, there's one you can take to school.
Oh, come on. They've repeated that joke like six times in this movie.
But yes, the snow was, oh my God. It was like they just took a bunch of like shredded coconut.
Yep. Hot glued it to everything.
And there's a scene where, you know, they're kind of, you know, you get your first glimpse of what this, you know, snowman building contest thing is. And this, you know, I guess it's an annual tradition in Snowminton.
Snowminton, Alberta.
You just can't make this up. Well, somebody did, allegedly, apparently. Yeah.
I think a group of people that were on something different than fucking snow came up with all this stuff.
And as the camera's kind of zooming in, as you mentioned, you see people walking around with, you know, jackets and just like in the middle of the road, there's no snow on the road itself. There's none on the sidewalks. There's green trees in the background. But there's a little fenced-in area where there just seems to be a concentrate of snow. And where does that snow come from? From the guy running in from the right side of the screen with a wheelbarrow full of fucking snow.
Did you say wheelbarrow?
Wheelbarrow?
Did you say wheelbarrow or wheelbarrow?
Wheelbarrow? And that one that just, is that a weird thing, I guess?
It was Will Barrow.
Well, that just sounds fucking weird to me.
That's great, man. That's one of the classic things I've heard you say so far. Right. But anyway, You were asking about the weird science going on in this,
yeah,
this movie. Well, let's go back for a minute. And after the supposed execution of Jack Frost, which, as you mentioned before, turns out to just be a chemical accident after a crash. You know, now Jack Frost is dead, but a new series of murders start to happen in Snowminton, starting off with this old man who's just apparently was sitting in his rocking chair outside, and somebody came and just took and broke his neck backwards against the back of the chair. And they must have loved this dead body model they had, because they lingered on that shot and showed it for probably like 18 minutes straight. Just this dead, you know, frozen dead old guy. And so the trail of bodies starts back up, and you know, the sheriff is suspicious because, I don't know, for some reason as we know, he's traumatized by the Jack Frost incident, but he feels the need to call the FBI over this, over the very first dead body, and ask the agent, and what was the agent's name? Agent Manners. Ask him if Jack Frost is truly dead. And I think it had been widely reported that Jack Frost was really dead by this point in the plot.
Mm.
But he calls and asks the FBI agent if he's truly dead. And of course, the agent confirms that, like, yes, he's dead. And then they hang up, and we're introduced to another character. Oh, God. Please tell me you can remember his name. Is it Stone in the flick?
No.
The scientist that's working with the FBI. FBI.
Yeah. Oh.
He's the guy that was responsible for creating this new chemical, the one that actually killed Jack Frost.
Right.
I can't remember his name, but he's sitting there. And that's the first bit of weird science we get right there.
Agent Stone?
Agent Stone, yeah. So I think that's the first time it's ever mentioned that, yes, this was a chemical created to, what was it, cure people during a nuclear holocaust or something like that? Some bullshit.
Yeah, it has something to do with the holocaust. Yeah, this guy's just a mad scientist kind of thing. It's what it seemed like.
Right. It's kind of like a Herbert West type, come up with some kind of crazy serum, but it wasn't tested yet, so they didn't know the effects.
So what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Put it all in a truck and just drive it down a small town road for some reason. They never explain that. Like, why is this truck of experimental acid just in the middle of fucking nowhere in Snowminton?
Yeah. Just cruising around.
You know? At the same time that a convicted serial killer is being transported to the death chamber, and they just happen to collide.
That synchronicity.
You got your serial killer
in my hazardous material. No, you got your hazardous material in my serial killer.
I've seen that story before. Two great tastes that taste great together, brother.
Man.
And then Jack Frost's first appearance as a snowman is actually in front of the sheriff's house.
Sheriff's house, right?
And it's just a perfectly formed snowman. Three perfectly round coconut balls. And no face or anything. You know, there's a scene where the sheriff's wife, I know I should know these characters. I've only seen the movie one time, though. She's going into the house. And she parks the car and starts going into the house. And she swears that the snowman moved a little bit closer towards her in her perfectly shoveled driveway, by the way. It shouldn't have a snowman in it. And oh, Christ almighty. See, there's just too much. There's too much going on with this movie. This is going to take 8 hours to talk about it. So maybe let's skip ahead in the plot. And
I just want to say this. Okay, the little kid that I hate. And here's a really good fucking reason why you should probably hate this kid too. Because for one, he's dumb as a box of rocks, okay? Because the shit that he was giving his dad, that, you know, he put it in a little bag, and here, take some, okay? It was some oatmeal shit, okay?
Like chocolate oatmeal with marshmallows.
Marshmallows, and the little kid's name is Ryan. But he put antifreeze in it, believing that it would keep his dad from getting cold.
The logic is sound, I must say.
The logic is sound. The parenting is horrible.
And this kid appears to be like 8 or 9 in the movie.
And he's not acts like infantile to me.
Right. We should mention at this point, well, I guess we already did. It's intentional comedy. It's not one of those cheesy, but you know,
it's contrived. Not meant to be a serious flick. Kind of like would get out of like a Chucky. It was always supposed to be comical and just, you know, a just for fun type, you know, the horror movie, well, supposedly. But which I can see why it would be called, you know, obviously a horror movie. But it's very comical. So how far ahead are we skipping ahead in this?
Well, you alluded to the
masterpiece.
You alluded to the antifreeze thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess we should cover some of the kills.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many characters in this movie too. Like I said, I've only watched it the one time. What was your favorite kill? Because I definitely have two. But what was your favorite one?
I have to think now.
I'll tell you my favorite kill then.
Go ahead. Tell me. It gives me a second to think of mine.
The bathtub kill. It was going to be the Christmas tree kill. But the bathtub kill is my favorite because it's so nonsensical. And I think it's the first time we actually see Jack Frost enter a room as water.
Yes.
And I think it's alluded to before that, but so there's this horny couple that that go and break into the sheriff's house while he's not there inexplicably. Like, there's no reason for this. I guess, at least unless I miss something.
I know, right?
It's the girl who, like, I guess gets off on, you know, being dangerous. So, you know, if we're gonna fuck, let's go break into the sheriff's
let's
house.
Let's go break into the local sheriff's house and fuck in his house.
So they start making out in the kitchen, and you know, this is great music scene. I think it's one of the Christmas classics. And it's the 12 Days of Christmas instrumental version. And as she's unbuttoning, you know, her top, they've stripped all their winter, you know, jackets and shit off, and she's about to, you know, show her boobs, and she gets to that last button, and it's two turtle doves. It would have been two turtle doves at that fucking moment in the song, and she stops, and she's like, if you really want me, I think she asked for a fireplace and some wine, right?
Yeah, a bottle of wine and a fireplace.
And a fireplace, a nice romantic fire. And so she runs off elsewhere in the house, and dude's about to explode, he says.
As he mentions.
And then he goes and grabs a bottle of champagne, not wine, but I guess it counts. And in a very suggestive moment, he uncorks the champagne and spooges it all out right in front of his crotch and pours a glass, goes and opens the freezer. And the whole freezer is just caked over with ice. So he grabs an ice pick with a carrot nose in there. It's almost like, that's where Jack Frost is hiding out, I guess.
Yeah.
He just couldn't put two and two together because who would? Who fucking would? Well, why does he have to be in the freezer? He could just be outside where it's cold. But anyway, so he chips off a piece of Jack Frost from the freezer, plops it down in the wine, and it has a weird chemical reaction that he doesn't notice. And we cut to girlfriend blow drying her hair, even though her hair is dry already. I guess maybe she got some snow.
She blow dries it and then gets into the bath.
And then gets into the bathtub, which she sees drawn for her, even though she didn't ask for a hot bath to be drawn for. She asked for a fucking fireplace.
Fireplace and a bottle of wine. This guy gets her a fucking bathtub. What the fuck?
But when she sees it, she's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, that's exactly what she asked for.
Exactly.
And what, are you going to do it in the bathtub? Okay, fine. So
after she
blow dries her hair, and she does. She does. And she gets in the bathtub, and almost a Nightmare on Elm Street type shot.
It was.
For taking a bath and really enjoying it. Like, I think these kids were on X that night because they were, she was really enjoying like everything that was happening. And so she's in the bathtub and then we see this like trail of water coming in from under the bathroom door. It's reminded me of that scene in Final Destination.
Final Destination. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
And so I guess Jack Frost in his puddle form slides across the bathroom floor and gets into the tub, injecting the bathwater with his whole DNA and soul and everything.
And Carrot all of a sudden, comes plopping up to the surface.
Carrot comes plopping up like a fucking floater
submarine turret, resurfacing.
Like somebody shit in a fucking public pool. Bloop, bloop. It just pops up and oh god, sorry. It hits her on the leg and what was her fucking line when the carrot hits her in the leg? It's like,
I can't remember.
It's something fucking hilarious.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, all of a sudden, here comes Jack Frost in the bathtub.
It's getting colder in here. Don't put cold water in here.
That's right. It gets all cold, and then the whole tub of water just coconut
fills up with
flakes
shredded
over.
Coconut.
Meant to imply that it's turned into snow all of a sudden. And then out of that, here comes Jack Frost, fully formed, and he picks her up, and
her arms are like through Jack Frost, like she's embedded in him.
Oh shit! I didn't even notice.
Did
that
you
detail.
Notice that? Yeah.
No, I didn't. So he's just kind of rocking back and forth and banging her back of her head, the back of her head into the shower wall. This is ridiculous. What am I even saying? What movie is this? How did this get made?
Oh, man. Looks like Christmas came early. Another great one-liner.
And then just drop you, and then just drops her on the bathroom floor after he's done with her.
Right.
Kind of liquefies and exit scene.
I did. My favorite kill, I think, now that, you know, you mentioned it, would have to be the Christmas tree one with the fruitcake wife. She was nuttier than a fucking Christmas fucking fruitcake, man.
Right, she was.
Whatever that means, nuttier than a fruitcake?
I know what you mean. All right. It's a saying, nuttier than a fruitcake.
Okay. Yeah, she was just loony as shit. So she's sitting there, she's drinking her tea, and all of a sudden the lights pop on or something on the Christmas tree. She's like, "Oh, thank you. Oh, that was so nice." Woo, woo. Thinking, I guess, her husband or something fucking did it.
Yeah, her husband.
Then all of a sudden they go back out. So she goes to investigate and finds that, you know, the extension cord had come unplugged. Well, she goes to reach for it. It gets yanked from her. It's like a cat and a piece of string at this point. And so she's standing there, and then here comes, again, just poof, out of nowhere, here's Jack Frost in fully perfect-shaped snowman and starts wrapping Christmas lights around her throat. And at this point, she's you know, he don't want her to scream, apparently, so he takes a Christmas ball, shoves it in her face, and then hits her bottom jaw like it's a fucking nutcracker. Then proceeds to take her face and bash it into a box of Christmas balls. But when he's bashing her face, you can tell, is this like a CPR doll at this point?
Yeah.
That thing is flapping around. It's not even close. It's like they just gave up trying on this practical effect at this point. I mean, they couldn't get any kind of a body cast or anything.
I don't think they wanted one. I think they wanted it to be a fucking CPR doll. I think they wanted it to look as fucking fake as possible. And it did. But it was fucking hilarious. When he was slamming her face into those Christmas ornaments, and they're just shattering, getting all embedded in her face.
Yeah, and then he pulls her up, and then it's the actual actress with all the, you know, little shards of Christmas balls embedded into her face, and then right back into the Christmas dummy or the CPR dummy again. That was one of my favorites. Oh, and then he takes the star and like stabs it in the top of her head or something.
Because didn't she mention earlier at the snowman building contest that she, when she was a kid, she always wanted to,
to be the angel on top of the tree.
Yeah, the angel on top of the tree. So to add ultimate insult to this entire injury, then he kind of tinsels her all up to the tree. So she's like strapped to the damn tree, her corpse with her, you know, broken face with all these pieces of ornament sticking out of it. And the, you know, the Christmas ball in her mouth. And the star in her fucking brain. She's just a human ornament. Great kill.
Oh, man.
I'll give that kill. That and the bathroom kill. I'll give them both 5 skulls. I'm not saying I'll give this movie 5 skulls.
Those two are classic for sure.
Yeah. And we should also mention.
Go ahead.
Her husband had a great kill right before that kill. He had gone outside to smoke his pipe.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a running joke throughout the movie that Jack Frost always wanted that last cigarette or that last smoke before his execution. You know, he asked for it in the very first scene of the movie. And this scene, you know, this guy's out there smoking his, about to smoke his pipe. And here comes Jack Frost, just manifests himself right in front of him and asks, you know,
hey, can I get a smoke?
Can I get a smoke? And that's the way he says all his lines, kind of like this too.
Yeah.
But he doesn't get his smoke. He's about to get chopped by an axe because the old dude puts his pipe down, grabs the axe out of the log he's sitting on, and or tree stump he's sitting on. He's about to go deliver the fatal blow to Jack Frost, but oh no no.
Oh, no,
I guess
no.
He liquefies and whips around behind him because, you know, Jack Frost can do that.
He can.
And buries the axe down this guy's throat, but not the the axe end, the handle end.
That's right.
So this guy, it appears that he deep throats a fucking axe handle, but in reality, he's just kind of pinned to the ground with it. This Jack Frost, this snowman is a strong motherfucker.
He is. And what was that line afterwards? All I did was ax ya for a smoke.
Damn.
Oh,
see,
man.
You got 2 good kills back to back in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or close to back to back.
So, I don't know.
We're all over the place.
I don't have much more that I can really add to this. It's great. I mean it is. It's gonna get a better skull rating from me than when I first sat down and watched it than I would have anticipated giving it.
Yeah.
And Jack Frost too is even cornier. I mean, they take it to a whole nother level. I mean, it's just like you just have to shake your head sometimes, like, oh my God, did I really see that? Did they really say that?
I said that in my head many times watching this movie tonight. There's a scene in this one, the first one, where Jack Frost in snowman form backs over somebody in a car so he can drive. Like, his arms in this movie are like, I can't even describe it. You just have to see it to believe it. They're not stick arms like you would expect a snowman to have. They're like fully formed snow arms and capable of
formed snow arms
punching and driving, you know, grabbing a steering wheel. And oh my God, we haven't even broken the surface on. We didn't even talk about the ending or anything. I guess we'll just not spoil it this time. But we did allude to an antifreeze baptism. That is a thing. I'll say this. That antifreeze laced with all good intentions, that antifreeze laced treat. Right. I think the boy's just dumb. He's just
a dumb kid.
He's like Bobby Hill. The boy ain't right. But, you know, after his father finds out, what did you put in that stuff, by the way, that you made me, that slop? And he's like, well, don't be mad, but I put antifreeze in there to keep you, make sure you, that you keep warm. Because, oh, God, I'm going to spoil it, I guess.
Go ahead.
The dad doesn't eat the slop that his son gives him in one of the first scenes in the flick, because obviously it looks like dog shit in a bag. So
with marshmallows, so, you know.
With marshmallows, so doggy's been into the hot chocolate again. there's a scene early on where you see the dad, after he's given this slop bag, you know, reporting to the station for duty for the day, and he's about to throw, he throws it in the trash can, and he feels bad about it, so he goes and digs it back out and puts it in the passenger seat of his squad car. And later on, there's a scene where Jack Frost is in the squad car. He's turned into liquid and come through the vents of the car. And he fully reforms as the snowman form inside the car. Oh, my God. Anyway, he ends up.
We're talking about this being a movie.
He ends up getting into the bag of antifreeze chocolate shit. And let's just say it has a bad effect on him. And so is the sheriff is there with his kid watching this happen in that scene and asks him about the special ingredients. And that's when he finds out it's antifreeze. So there is a whole scene at the end where basically the bed of a pickup truck is just filled up with gallons and gallons of antifreeze. And that's their big plot, is to try to get Jack Frost to fall into this vat of antifreeze. And there's also a scene where the son, the kid you hate,
yeah,
has to be kind of baptized in antifreeze. And I don't know how either person survived, because there's a lot of antifreeze wrestling at the end of this movie, and some of it got down somebody's gullet.
It would have to.
And I know it tastes sweet and delicious, but kids, I know you're listening. I know we have a lot of kids listening to this podcast. Don't drink that cool-looking green Kool-Aid that you find in the garage. It can actually kill you.
Unless your name is Ryan and your dad is Sheriff Sam.
Well, yeah. Or unless you're watching this movie and you just need an escape, go ahead and take a couple of sips.
Oh, Jesus. Man.
This one was all over the place, wasn't it?
All over the place, but I mean, so
sorry, everybody.
So was this movie. So with all the high praise that I feel that you've given this, I'm expecting a high skull rating from you, SJ. What are you giving it, brother?
Well, I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to give it a 3. All right, straight down the middle, 3.5, 3.5. I can't go lower than that, man, because I see what they were trying to do here. I see what they were going for. And for the most part, pretty much for the entire part, they got it right. They got the comedy. They got me to laugh in spite of myself. They got me to say, what the fuck did he just say? Or what the fuck just happened?
Right.
And there's also just so much going on there. I have so many tabs pulled up about quotes and goofs from the movie. As I said before, the whole movie's a fucking goof.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't even get to the part where Jack Frost can also shoot icicles out of his hands.
Out of
and
his
just,
hands, yes.
And shoot them out of his chest. There's another great kill. My God, man. There's just they've created a masterpiece here. It should be 5 out of 5 skulls, but I can't. Like, 5 out of 5 skulls is like The Exorcist or something. I can't go there with this movie, but I'll give it 3.5 just almost as a joke, because it's really a terrible movie, but a terrible movie done on purpose. So 3.5 from SJ. Check it out.
Yeah. I already had it in my head. 3.25.
There you go.
I'm going to be way to be different. It does deserve a little more than a 3. As you said, when I first watched it, I was like, man, really? I'm going to sit through this. But it only took probably about halfway through where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to see what they're really trying to do here. This was never intended to be anything but just straight comedy with horror implications.
Right.
And when you realize that, you learn to appreciate it, you know, in a new way. And it is a it's an entertaining watch. I highly suggest it. 3.25 for me. You got NLD's vote of confidence on that one. And any final words on Jack Frost, my friend? And have you seen Jack Frost 2, which is also available? You can watch it for free on YouTube. Jack Frost and Jack Frost 2.
Haven't seen Jack Frost 2. I'm interested.
You're in for a treat there, sir.
I'm interested to see it. It came out, I don't know how many years later, I thought.
I'm not sure of the date, no, but you're definitely in for a treat.
Yeah. So, last thoughts on this one. My God. If anybody out there listening would like us to cover this in more detail, there's certainly more detail to cover. Yes. We didn't even mention the sled decapitation.
Oh, man.
My God. I mean, we skipped over so much stuff, but it's just one of those movies. Talk about a movie where you're going to see something new every time you watch it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you pretty much have to watch it 2-3 times, really, to, you know, get the full appreciation of it, I think.
Well, everybody check it out. Let us know your thoughts, because I'm very interested to hear what people have to say about this one.
Yeah, I am too, because, you know, like a lot of the ones that we've covered, even though they have been much worse than what we both see Jack Frost as being, a lot of them are considered, over time, you know, have become, you know, cult classics. And, you know, even though they're bad or the, you know, just all around bad, they're cult classics, and, you know, people love them. They've incorporated a cult following behind them, and this is one of those movies. So I'm sure that we got quite a few listeners that have seen Jack Frost and Jack Frost 2, like SJ said, and you don't want to piss him off.
No, I'm a very intimidating man.
Yeah, right. Let us know what you you thought, you know, about Jack Frost, and you can, you know, let us know in the comments under the Day 5 NOD Christmas Slaycation partner page on nightoflivingdreads.com. So, hey, I think that's a wrap. Boy, this was a good one, man, and we could have gone so much longer. Because there is so much, you know, to talk about with this movie, all the little did you knows or do you know and all those things.
Yeah,
it's interesting stuff, man. Something we'll definitely have to dive into in more detail in the future.
And remember, Dreadheads, don't eat yellow snow, because I'm the world's most pissed off snow cone.
And with that, we bid you a good night.
Thank you for fucking listening to a fucking Christmas show. All of you dirty dreadheads, let somebody fucking know. All of the other podcasts, they can go and fuck right off. Otis and fucking SJ, the shit is really fucking boss. Plenty more good flicks to see, yeah, we'll cover those. Murders, geeks, and lots of shrieks, and all of Santa's ho-ho-hos and freaks. Thank you for fucking listening, we think you all are really cool. We'd be nothing without you, cause horror fans fucking rule. Yeah, horror fans fucking rule. I said, horror fans fucking rule, fuck yeah.